A presidential commission wants information on Wisconsin voters. What information will that commission be getting? When and what won't they be getting? To answer those questions, my thanks to Michael Haas, Administrator of the Wisconsin's Elections Commission. Thanks for coming back, Mike.
Sure, good to be here.
Let's talk about the database. First of all, let's lay the groundwork. What database does the commission have on Wisconsin voters? How many voters?
We have about 3.5 million registered voters currently. The number fluctuates depending on the day.
Sure. That's called the master list, or what's it called?
We call it WISFO now, the voter registration system.
Okay. Voters. And what data is in there on all of us democracy-supporting voters?
Anybody who has voted in Wisconsin, or registered to vote in Wisconsin, especially since 2006. Prior to that, we did not even have statewide voter registration as a requirement. Some municipalities dump their data from previous years into the system, but if you've registered to vote since that time, your name is in the system. Even if you are not currently registered, the system keeps your name in there until there's a notification that the person has died. So we have what's called active registered voters and inactive voters in the voter registration system. Those are individuals who are not currently registered, but they could become eligible and register to vote again.
So what details do you have on myself and 3 million other of my cheesehead neighbors?
We have names, addresses, also the voter participation. So every election since 2006 that you have voted in, the clerk after the election marks that information in the voter registration database, and that's what allows voters to go on our My Vote Wisconsin website and check their voter history. It also indicates whether a person is a military voter or an overseas voter. It also does have some confidential information, including the voter's birth date, driver license number, or the last four digits of their social security number.
But those are confidential. In other
Correct.
Words, if I knew my neighbor's birth date, I could check whether he voted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I've got to know his birthday.
Correct.
Okay. But that's public.
If you know the birthday, you could access it.
But his driver's license number, his date of birth, and the last four digits of his Social Security, you have, but I can't access it.
Right. Under state law, that is confidential information. It can only be released currently under very limited circumstances, either to a law enforcement agency or an agency of another state.
Yeah, and I want to read your statement on that, because it's only three sentences. So this is what you put out a week ago on June 30th. Wisconsin statutes do not permit the state to release a voter's date of birth, driver's license number, or Social Security number. State statutes permit sharing confidential information in limited circumstances with law enforcement agencies or agencies of other states. And in the final sentence, the presidential commission does not appear to qualify under either of these categories. So let's talk about the presidential commission. Created by the president, mm-hmm. is this a fair summary? I'm not trying to get partisan here. Mm-hmm. To investigate the 2016 presidential elections, or have I gone too far?
I think it's maybe a little broader. I mean, it's called the Presidential Commission on Election Integrity. I think the president and others involved in the commission have indicated that one goal is to look at potential voter fraud. But I think that it has a little bit broader mission statement to look at vulnerabilities in the election processes across the states as well.
Who serves on it? Do politicians or do election professionals such as yourself?
Both. It's chaired by Vice President Pence. The co-chair is the Secretary of State for Kansas, Chris Kobach. And then there are a number of other individuals. Some are election administrators. Some are secretaries of state who may be elected partisan officials.
You don't serve? Does anybody from Wisconsin serve?
No.
Okay. So now let's update it. What did the WEC get from the commission? Mm-hmm. Specifically, what do they want? When do they want it? And then we can get into the response.
Sure. The commission sent a letter to every state requesting voter data by July 14th, next Friday. That was the request, at least. We received the letter this week, and we're in the midst of developing a response. And so what the commission asked for is any voter registration data that is publicly available. And so that varies from state to state, as we discussed. The letter also posed a number of questions, inviting responses really on policy matters. But the most immediate request is for the voter data.
Of all of our 3 million voters.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But by our law, says you cannot give them these categories that we've been talking about, right? Driver's license number, mm-hmm. date of birth, mm-hmm. and last four, the social.
Correct.
Now, then is there any other legal reason why WEC isn't going to forward them the list of with those exceptions?
Right. Now, we're really following the state statutes. And the voter registration list, we've received a lot of phone calls and emails over the last week regarding this. I think a lot of people do not realize now that their voter data is public with those exceptions. And so once we explain that the statutes require it to be public and require us to release the data, if there's a request made and the required payment is made, then most people have been understanding, especially when we assure them that the confidential data will not be released.
Well, that's very important. So people are now learning what this federal commission wants, mm-hmm. and they're calling. Are you getting dozens, hundreds of calls?
We actually have been tallying. I think it's probably less than 100.
Less than 100.
More than dozens.
And they're saying, wait a minute, what exactly are you going to send off to Washington?
Right.
And so once this is explained, are they asking to have their data not sent to Washington, which I don't think you can do, correct?
Correct. Under our Wisconsin statutes, we explain that we are required to provide the publicly available data to the commission. I should know, I guess we learned this morning, between emails and phone calls, we probably are into the hundreds of contacts. And overwhelmingly, it has been people concerned about providing their data, a handful of people who are supporting the request. But mostly it's people who are concerned about providing the data. And again, once we explain that the confidential data will not be released, most of them are understanding.
Because it's so important, let's go back over what exactly about an individual voter is going to go to this commission, please.
Sure, it will be the name, voter's name, voter's address, elections that they participated in since 2006, along with some, there are some categories of voters, military voters, voters who are overseas. The commission requested data if there are any special categories of voters. The commission also requested information that we don't have, such as the political party affiliation.
Iowa where you have to state RD or independent.
Exactly, yeah. We do not collect that information, so it's not something we can provide.
When the 100-plus callers ask, what's going to happen with my data, mm-hmm. what's the agency saying?
It's interesting. Publicly, the commission has given some hints that it wants to use the data to match either with other states or with some federal databases. But this is really a public records request. And under Wisconsin's public records law, we are not able to inquire into the reason or what people will do with the data that they are requesting. So we're not able to pick and choose. We want to honor this request and not honor another request because of the reason. So the only thing we can really tell callers is we have the public records request, refer them to some of the public reports, maybe about what the commission has stated it intends to do, but there has not, frankly, been a lot of detail released yet by the commission about what it intends to use the data for.
The commission then has to treat this data as if it's going out to any other private company that wants to buy it, correct?
Correct.
And that happens quite often? How many times do you sell the voter list?
I don't have a number, but it's especially frequent, obviously, closer to elections. Campaigns, candidates purchase the voter data.
At a cost of?
At a cost. There's an administrative rule that establishes a cost. If a candidate wants the entire statewide list, it's $12,500. Other than that, there's a base fee of $25 plus $5 for every 1,000 voter records. So a congressional candidate or state senate candidate would have a lower cost. The Presidential Commission has indicated that it does intend to make the data public in some way. We don't
really
know how.
Okay.
We'll wait to see. I believe the first commission meeting will be July 19th, so there may be more details coming about what they intend to do.
A Wisconsin Public National Public Radio story this morning on the commission said, I think it quoted one commissioner as saying, well, we want to check every state's data, Wisconsin's mm-hmm. data, against national death records mm-hmm. and other records. Is that kind of your understanding of what may be done with the data on Wisconsin voters?
Possibly. And you know, I think one word of caution is that we do a lot of data matching with our Department of Motor Vehicles, vital records, and with 19 other states who are part of a consortium of states in a program that checks for duplicate voter registration records. And what we have learned is that data matching, you really need to have a significant amount of data about the individuals. Even using the first name and last name and date of birth will result in false positive matches. We know that even within voters in the Wisconsin database. So one caution again is that if we are not able to provide the date of birth, that's likely not going to be a very useful record to be matched against. But we also don't know what the Federal Commission has available to it as resources for its any matching process it uses.
With all the news stories over hacking of and potential meddling in our election by Russia and or other countries, as Mr. Trump said yesterday, are some of these callers expressing concerns about their information being hacked?
Yes, they are. I mean, privacy is always a concern, but especially with all of the recent stories and attention about hacking into election systems and voter registration records. That's one concern that people have expressed.
And what are you telling the callers about their fears over hacking?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, as an administrative agency, we're required to follow the statutes and the public record statutes. And if they do not agree with those rules, the legislature is really the place to go to try to get those rules changed. Also, though, when people understand that what is being provided essentially is their name and address, a lot of individuals understand that that's available from a lot of different databases. What we are providing in addition really is their voter participation history. And so for most people, that's not an especially sensitive piece of data that they are concerned about keeping confidential.
Are you quite satisfied that our laws protect the ones that make off limits, the DOB and all that? Those are good protections?
Right. The confidential data, I mean, we put a high priority working with the Department of Administration on protecting all of our IT systems, including our voter registration database, working with DOA, but also Homeland Security and other agencies to make sure we are checking our systems, scanning them, making any, tweaks or fixes to them that we need to do.
And you've said it before, but let's say it again. The commission doesn't have any evidence of attempts to hack before November 8th?
Correct. Okay. There are constantly, I think, in all websites or databases, sort of people floating around trying to, as they say, knock on the doors to see if it's a vulnerable system. Mm-hmm. But we have not been notified that there was any attempt to hack into our system.
So you said the query from the commission asked for voter data, which you have to provide, subject to these limits, just like any other company. Mm-hmm. But you said they also asked some policy questions, such as?
They asked a list of, I think, seven questions having to do with if the states had any suggestions for changes in the laws or procedures, suggestions for what the commission could do or the federal government could do to help states administer elections. They asked for information regarding felony convictions for anybody who's in the voter registration system. But mostly it was inviting input on election laws and election procedures.
Are you going to answer any of those policy questions, or is that something for the board to answer?
I think initially we're going to focus on the data request, and that's a more straightforward request. And then I think we'll need to talk to our elections commission about whether or not it wishes to respond to the other questions.
And would there be any accountability or oversight once the Wisconsin voter data goes to Washington? Do you have any understanding that the commission is going to tell states, including Wisconsin, how that data is used?
Well, there's certainly been enough attention on the commission and questions about what it's going to do with the data. And so I would expect that at some point that the Presidential Commission is going to explain to the public what it intends to do, and we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that.
Now, you recently testified in Washington. Mm-hmm. Did that have anything to do with any of the subjects that we've discussed?
Well, I guess the way it was related is election security. That was really the topic, and the attempts or the actions by Russia to attempt to hack into election systems. And so I was there to help explain to the Senate Committee on Intelligence what states learned from the 2016 elections about election security and what steps we are taking going forward to prepare for the 2018 elections related to protecting our systems and cybersecurity.
Well, on that subject, what steps is the commission contemplating or mm-hmm. already locking in terms of the 2018 elections?
You know, the 2016 elections, this whole security question, of course, became a much greater point of focus. And because of that, we did work with Homeland Security. We worked with DOA. I guess the new part about 2016 was the involvement of Homeland Security and the offers that it made to states to allow its resources to be used to scan systems and to make recommendations about securing systems. There's been, as part of the federal government's designation of election infrastructure as critical infrastructure, there will be a coordinating council set up on a nationwide basis to help advise Homeland Security about the election processes and where they can be helpful and to communicate with local election officials and state election officials. So what we learned, I think, one is that communication is always is very important, consistent communication, timely communication. And secondly, we focused on the voter registration system, which we've been talking about, and also securing voting equipment. I think one point that the Senate committee made to Homeland Security is that the Senate would like Homeland Security to be a little bit more transparent about some of what it finds that affects states and to let the states know sooner if they detect any security threat.
With all the emphasis on security, have you had to add specialists to the Wisconsin Election Commission staff, or is that a function of DOA?
Well, no, we're not adding staff specific to election security, but all of our staff will be part of that conversation and part of preparing for 2018. I gave a briefing to the Wisconsin Homeland Security Council last week, and that involves representatives of a lot of different state agencies, the Adjutant General's office. And so we coordinate with other agencies to make use of their resources as well and their expertise in planning for contingencies and preparing for any emergencies.
Well, we're talking about 2018. Let's talk about the commission decision, and I want to be sure I get it right. The commission voted to develop software for local clerks that want to use the e-polling books. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Do you expect those to be tested in spring or mm-hmm. in August primary, all of the above, and then November?
Yes, I actually just came from a planning meeting with our staff team that is working on that project. So electronic poll books, we will be developing that system this year. We anticipate having some pilots in either the February or the April spring elections sure. or both, so that we're able to use it on a wider scale for the fall 2018 elections.
Okay, now how's that going to work? Because right now I go in mm-hmm. and I'm presented and show my ID mm-hmm. and then I'm presented with and then I have to sign. Mm-hmm. Am I going to have to sign potentially an e-poll book then?
Correct. So there'd be an electronic signature. We're still working out the details, obviously, but right now the statutes require a signature on the poll book. So the electronic poll book takes the place of the paper poll book, and there would be a way to capture that signature either on a tablet or, you know, one of the devices similar to a credit card machine at a grocery store.
And what are you going to tell a voter confronting an e-poll book for the first time thinking, with all this talk about hacking, should I be worried?
Well, you know, we will certainly do a lot of education, training the local election officials who use it. It will be an option. It's not going to be mandatory. But also educating the public. And, you know, our staff is pretty experienced at educating voters about voter topics, including photo ID, things like that. And so we will use that same type of approach to making sure that voters are comfortable with the system well in advance of the elections.
Okay, but let's bring it back to the topic on the commission. By July 14th, Wisconsin will forward a list of voters' addresses, how often they voted?
Since 2006, which elections they voted in.
Yes.
The caveat is that the data likely will not be transferred by July 14th. We need to communicate to the Presidential Commission what the procedure is for actually obtaining data through our Badger Voters website or with our staff's assistance. We also need to have the fee paid before we can release any data. So they've requested a statewide list that would be a charge of $12,500. And under current statutes, we cannot release the data until we receive payment.
But there's no evidence of widespread voting fraud in our 2018 presidential elections.
Correct.
Okay. Michael Haas, Administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, thank you very much.
Sure, thank you, Steve.
Everybody wants to know what's going to happen with their voter data. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks.